about what we're going to do, but you're not listening.
I'm recording.
No, don't. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Ah, okay. Then I shall speak. Don't even give me a chance to clear my damn throat. Welcome to Flicks of Doom, the official movie podcast of Geeks of Doom. I'm Empress Eve, and here today with me is my little marshmallow crispy, Justin Vactor.
Woo!
Who pays no attention to me whatsoever, let me talk to myself, and doesn't pay attention when I say goodbye on the phone. So anyway, on this episode, we have a very special guest with us, Josh Brunting of Gordon and the Whale, DVD Snapshot, and Criterion Cast. Welcome, Josh.
Hey, how is everyone?
Josh is on 50 million sites, just the way Justin is on 50 million podcasts. So you guys should be roommates. You guys should be roommates.
I guess we should, yeah.
Yeah, and you could do the sleeping video podcast.
Sleeping video podcast.
Right.
Yeah.
8 hours of you guys awesome. Just sleeping, and then you could, you know, spend 17 hours editing it. So it would be awesome. Great.
Yeah, that's the most popular podcast right there.
You know, we'll syndicate it.
Awesome.
I'm sure I can get Gordon and the Whale to do it, you know.
Yes.
Because Justin, you know, he has all the time in the world. Don't worry about it. So anyway, on this week's episode, we will be discussing the 1986 film Highlander, which is one of my favorite films of all time, and so there, as well as the latest news and box office results. Justin, you awake there? Hello? Why don't you wake up and tell our listeners where they can find us on the internet?
Well, Eve, you know they can always email us at flicksofdoom@gmail.com. Or they can follow us on Twitter at flicks, F-L-I-X, of Doom.
Really?
Yeah, it's really great, Eve. They can also subscribe to us in iTunes, and they can leave us a review. Arr.
Could you tell them where they could get some haggis?
Haggis! You eat it?
Oh, yeah. Now that Justin's awake, why don't we just head right into the news? Sleep. Go back to sleep for the news, Justin. Anyhow,
you stupid. A lot of
news this week. First of all, I just want to say that a few trailers and sneak peek footage came out this week for Chronicles of Narnia: Voyage of the Dawn Treader, the final trailer for Tron Legacy, and then also a little sneak peek at footage from Green Lantern was revealed this week, and this Tuesday they'll be debuting the full trailer. So you can go to geeksofdoom.com and you could look at that footage right now, because we're not allowed to talk about it because Justin doesn't like talking about trailers because he avoids them. So I'm just going to direct you, dear listeners, to geeksofdoom.com. Check that out. Also this week, Christopher Nolan, who's working on the third Batman film, The Dark Knight Rises, he apparently met with a few actresses for roles in the film, and because we hate talking about this, because it's like, just tell me when someone's hired. But anyway, you can go to Geeks of Doom and you can check it out. Apparently, Anne Hathaway, Natalie Portman, and Keira Knightley, and more are in running for roles in the third Dark Knight film. And lastly, a quick mention that film producer Dino De Laurentiis died this week at age 91, and he was behind some really great films, producing them and everything, like Conan the Barbarian and other great films. So you could go, and our writer Badass wrote a really nice obituary for Mr. De Laurentiis, so you can go and check it out at Geeks of Doom. So, Justin, why don't you tell us about some other big news this week?
The Thing prequel loses its release date, and Fast and the Furious 5, Eve.
Now, I don't know about you guys, but I am looking forward to
Fast 5, yeah!
No. I know, you know I love those Fast and Furious.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, Josh, are you looking forward to the Thing prequel?
Yeah, actually, ever since we got to see a little bit of footage, I think it's going to end up being the first trailer for the Thing prequel at New York Comic Con.
Yeah. Actually, Josh was sitting right behind me at New York Comic Con. We were like in the third and fourth row at New York Comic Con, where we saw this footage for the Thing.
Yeah, and I have to say, I was pleasantly surprised by it. I'm a huge fan of both Carpenter's The Thing and the original the Thing from Another World, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I really think they're doing something interesting with it, just at least based on the teaser and hearing the director talk about it at a Comic-Con. I really like the footage. I'm bummed that we now have kind of the release date is in flux.
Yeah.
And I'm really bummed that it's being replaced by Fast 5 or Fast and the Furious 5. Yeah, it's just really kind of it's sad, but I just hope that we get to see this thing sooner rather than later, because I'm really stoked for the prequel.
Now the news here is that it is Universal Pictures has said that the film will not be ready by April 29th, 2011, which is its original. It was the original release date, and now they don't even have another release date for it. They haven't put it anywhere. So I'm wondering. First of all, I don't believe that they were like, "Oh, we got to get Fast 5 in there." You know what I mean? Like,
right.
I mean, like, and if they, oh, please, I really hope not. But
yeah.
I think perhaps they want to move it to like a tentpole movie for the summer. But I don't know how wise that is, because look at what's coming out this summer. You got all the superhero movies.
2011 is going to be a really big tentpole season, so it's going to be interesting to see where this puppy lands, because horror films don't necessarily do all that amazing during the summer season.
No,
so it's going to be really
interesting. Thought,
yeah.
I thought this date was perfect because it's like the weekend right before the big summer movies come out, and like you said, it's a horror, so it kind of like last year this year was the Nightmare on Elm Street remake with that weekend, and that did really well. And you know, we were looking forward to my husband, Dave 3 of Geeks of Doom. That's his birthday weekend. And yeah, so usually there's always like a good movie that comes out that weekend, and I'm always like, look, honey, just for you, you know? So last year was Elm Street, or this year, I keep saying last year. This year was Elm Street, and like next year was supposed to be The Thing, which he loves. He loves that movie so much. Yeah. And so I was like, oh, so I said to him, oh, honey, they moved your birthday movie. He's like, I know, you know? So, Justin, what do you think of this move on, well, this switch-a-rama on Universal's part?
Yeah.
We have to wait until Jonathan goes back to sleep and dreams about it, and then Well, anyway, Justin, what's some other news?
Well, while I wait for Eve to incept me, I'll tell you guys that Jon Favreau is in talks to direct a Magic Kingdom movie for Disney.
Woohoo! Now, Justin, you must have an opinion about that.
Yeah.
And what would that opinion be?
It's really
see
great.
What I got to deal with.
I like it.
That's it? You just like?
This is what I want to see, Eve. Let's put it on the big screen and have some popcorn.
Oh, boy. Well, Justin is a big Disney fan, as am I, so I'd like to see this movie made. I don't care how cheesy it sounds. I would like to see it get made. What about you, Josh?
Yeah, just the idea of kind of comparing it to something like Disney's Avengers, almost, with like all of their big A-list characters like Mickey, Donald Duck, just kind of running around Magic Kingdom is really kind of compelling to me, just or at least the 4-year-old inside of me. So and I mean, Favreau does have a little bit of experience with more family fare with something like Zathura, although, I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of Zathura.
I like that movie.
It's solid. Yeah. I'm pretty interested in this. I don't know all that much about it. I don't think really anyone does.
Wouldn't it be funny if it's like just a setup, another setup for the Avengers?
Awesome. That, yes. Just Iron Man and all
like
blowing
Iron
shit
Man
up.
And, yeah. And all those characters are at the Magic Kingdom.
Just
know?
Blowing shit up. I'm down for it. I'm down for it.
So we have one last story that we wanted to talk about, and it has to do with the Wolverine sequel.
Yes.
And let's see. The very clever name that they came up with for this sequel. It's going to be called The Wolverine. Is that not exciting, right? I don't even care what it's about, right? Just give me that wonderful name and I'll run.
That's awesome, yeah.
This is breaking news, Eve. This was published 3 minutes ago on geeksofdoom.com.
That's right. Breaking.
As we record this.
Breaking news. The best movie name ever.
Yeah.
And apparently, Aronofsky has gotten some kind of green light to make this movie a standalone film where it doesn't have to adhere to the rules of other films. So it's up in the air whether this is really a reboot or what the deal is. But it apparently will take place in Japan, like everybody says. But mm-hmm. I don't know about this one. What do you guys think?
From what I understand, it's going to be a one-shot movie, which means there will be no sequels. There will be no prequels. So it's not really a reboot if that's the way that they're doing it, which that would be interesting to me because when Darren Aronofsky's name first came up, I said, that's going to be the strangest. I don't know if I said it on this podcast or not, but that's going to be the strangest 1-2 movie.
He's got to go back to the archives. It's like,
yeah.
I have no idea where I said it.
Set it on.
But that would be the weirdest sequence of movies I've ever seen, going from X-Men Origins Wolverine to a Darren Aronofsky-directed Wolverine.
Yeah.
But this makes more sense to me that it would be a one-off, one-shot, as we frequently have in comic books, stories that stand on their own and have no franchise, have no series attached to them. So I'd be interested to see, just with Hugh Jackman and Darren Aronofsky's names attached, that's all I need, and I'll go see it.
I'm pretty sure there's going to be like a peyote sequence in this film, right?
No.
Oh, yeah. There's definitely going to be a sequence
No. Wolverine is going to be an aging wrestler, and he's going to come out of retirement, and then he's going to elbow drop Magneto.
I'm telling you, there's going to be a trip. There's going to be a psychedelic trip in there. You mark my words, man. It's gonna get trippy. Josh, what do you think?
I just want to see this thing already. Like I'm a massive Darren Aronofsky fan, and I've been wanting him to kind of do a giant tentpole kind of franchise movie since we got wind of his Batman Year One, which just sounded like the most insane thing ever. But this sounds really really interesting because. From the very outset, I've been hoping that this Aronofsky one would be kind of the more introspective or kind of as existential Wolverine film that we've all been wanting from the character.
And I
think that now since we've gotten wind that Fox is kind of giving him the green light to do this, that they're going to kind of stay off his toes, kind of like what WB does with Nolan and Zack Snyder, just kind of give Aronofsky creative control, because he'll be able to do this probably for relatively cheap if it's the same kind of Aronofsky that we've all kind of grown to love. So, and this thing's going to make a ton of money no matter what. I mean, it could be Hugh Jackman reading the reading a phone book and have Wolverine attached to it and make millions of dollars. So, hopefully,
I just want to know: will Wolverine be walking away from an explosion? That's all I want to know.
No.
Will there be an explosion? Will he be walking away unscathed? That's what I want to know. That's the integral stuff right there, okay?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, that brings us to the end of our news segment for this news and all the other news of the week, film and TV news and much more. You can visit geeksofdoom.com. Justin, tell us, great Swami. What was the box office like this week?
Well, there was three new releases this week. Unstoppable with Denzel Washington and Chris Pine. Skyline with Donald Faison and a bunch of other people. And Morning Glory with Harrison Ford, Diane Keaton, and Rachel McAdams. So of those new releases, none of them were number one at the box office because Megamind was number one. Again, $30 million, bringing its total to about $90 million so far. Unstoppable, of the new ones, was the highest grossing at $23.5 million. Due Date came in number three, pulling in $15 million and bringing its total to about $60 million. Skyline came in number four, pulling in $11 million. And Morning Glory, it pulled in $9.6 million over the weekend, but it actually opened up on Wednesday. So its total right now is $12 million.
And of all these movies, how do you feel about that order of box office, Justin, since you've seen them all?
Well, I presumed that's the way it would be, but if we're talking about in order of quality, then Skyline should be down at the bottom.
Well, let me ask you this. I was curious about Morning Glory. I mean, it looks like a cute little movie. It's not the kind of film that I would go run to see, but it does have Harrison Ford, and it looks like a movie that would have done a lot better. Are you guys surprised that it came in number five?
I have no idea who they were marketing that movie to.
Yeah.
Have you seen Devil Wears Prada?
Yes.
It is the exact same movie, except for instead of being in the women's fashion world, it's in the world of daytime or morning television.
That's what it looked like from the trailer. That's exactly what it looked like.
And it's the same writers, same people involved, everyone creatively. It's pretty much the same group of people. So if you like that, then you'll like this. Plus, you like Harrison Ford, so you'll definitely like this.
Right. But, I mean, I just thought that a movie like that would do better. I mean, I'm surprised Skyline beat it, actually, because I didn't think Skyline was on anyone's radar, and then everyone who went to see it, they were like tweeting afterwards that it was terrible.
Yeah, I heard a lot more buzz for Skyline than I did for Unstoppable or any other movie this week. Skyline was the one that most people that I follow were talking about.
Yeah, everyone was saying about Unstoppable is just basically, you know, Denzel in a train again.
Mm-hmm. But strangely enough, it got very favorable reviews. Josh, did you get a chance to see any of these?
Yeah, I saw Unstoppable and really kind of dug the hell out of it. I really, really had a blast. It's very, very kind of just pure popcorn action movie. But honestly, I don't really think anyone does that better than the combination of Denzel and Tony Scott. So, I mean, they make it's an eminently watchable movie, particularly whenever Denzel's on screen. There's just something about Denzel that's just, he oozes charisma. And it's really fun. I saw it with a packed crowd. Everyone had a blast with it. It's a really fun movie. So, yeah. That's the only one I got to see this weekend. So. Yeah.
Yeah, I would definitely,
check it out, yeah.
Yeah, alrighty. Eve, you're being a Chris Pine fan, you'll enjoy that.
Yeah,
I just saw him on Ellen yesterday.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why didn't you tell me?
Well, you can easily go to Ellen's website and look at that.
Oh, okay, good. I shall. My boy Chris Pine. So, because I did not want to go to the movies this week, because none of these movies were enticing enough for me to go, I decided that I thought we should discuss Highlander, which just came out for the very first time, Blu-ray. Now, Justin, I know that this is the first time you've seen Highlander. And Josh, how about you? Is this a movie you've known about? Have you, you know, watched it a lot, or have you never seen it before now?
I've seen it only a couple times. I didn't see it until college, actually. So I've only seen it a couple times.
5 minutes ago.
This is my fourth year in college, so.
Don't try to act like college was so many years ago, okay?
I'm not. Full disclosure here.
That's right. Josh is a little bitty baby, but he's very well versed in film.
So
much so that he can write about it for 27 websites. Right? He's got so much film talk in him. Forget it. Anyone looking to hire Josh? Because he's free, really. He can squeeze it. Oh, and by the way, anyone who needs Justin to edit a podcast, Don't worry about it. They'll make time. Don't worry about it.
We've got time to kill. We'll sleep when we're dead.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's right. Tonight they sleep in hell. Okay? Okay, people? So. Now, the film came out in 1986. It starred Christopher Lambert, Clancy Brown, Sean Connery, and Roxanne Hart. And I don't know about you guys, but I loved the hell out of this film, and when it came out before certain people on this podcast were born, and while certain other people were infants, I had gone, me, the grandmother, had gone to see it, okay, and I loved it. Okay, now I'll say the poster that I saw at the time was Christopher Lambert's character, and he was wearing jeans and a trench coat, and it was modern day, and he had a sword, and I remember thinking, like, what the hell is this movie? Like, why is it called Highlander, but here's this, like, regular dude with a trench coat and a sword, and what in hell is this movie about? I don't know what the hell's going on. So, but then I heard that, like, Queen did the music for it, and that it had it had this whole thing, you know, flashback sequences to the 1500s in Scotland, and then you see Christopher Lambert, he's got the long hair and this and that, and, like, this was the 80s, so, like, any movie with a guy with long hair, that, it was like, I was going, so long hair, swords, rock music, and that's it, that's all it had to have, really, to get me to go see it, you know, so,
long
I was
hair,
in.
Long don't care.
What'd you say?
Long hair, don't care.
Well, I do. Okay, so these were, like, very simple requirements for me, and so it, you know, fit the bill, and I completely loved it, and then it came out on video, and I remember my mom went to, like, a video store, and she found it, like, on sale. I think the video store was, like, closing, or they had some kind of sale, and she got me the VHS copy with the, remember how the old ones were, like, I forget what they're called, but they were, like, big and white. The case for it, you know what I mean? Like, it was like that clamshell whatever case for them. She got me it for $10. And, man, I watched the hell out of this VHS cassette. And my friends used to come over, and we used to have big Highlander screenings. And I remember my mom would sit and watch it, and she'd go, is this a film with flashback? Like, she didn't know what the hell was going on in the movie at all. You know, she just kept asking, like, is this a forward flashback? And, yeah, it was like, but I, you know, like, it's one of my favorite movies of all time. So I'm very curious. Justin, this was his first time seeing it, and I had highly recommended it to him. And then he tweeted that he fell asleep during the movie, which he does fall asleep during, you know, 50% of the things he watches. So you can't really take that as, you know, if he liked it or not. But then he said something about how he was an hour and 50 minutes into the film, and he asked, when does it get good? You know? So... Justin, I'm very curious to your experience with this film. Why don't you tell us about it?
This is a movie that I believe you had to watch it when it was first released to get the full Highlander effect. Because watching it today in 2010 in a post-Dark Knight world, it's very hard to take Highlander seriously. Not only from an acting standpoint, but from a fighting and an action standpoint as well, because if you watch the sword battles and fights, they look very laughable and cheesy today, especially comparing it to something like the lightsaber battle in Episode 3, my favorite prequel, and different things that you would see today. I think we're just a lot more sophisticated in our action scenes, and we, as audiences and viewers, we demand a lot more today than we did in 1986.
I was going to say, though, you are a lover of 80s movies.
This is correct.
So how is this different for you? Because normally when you, I mean, you sat through Just One of the Guys, okay? I love that movie too, but, like, let's face it, you know, I mean, you love that movie, and like, talk about not so great quality. So how come
there's no sword battles in Just One of the Guys? It's a lot easier to have a high school.
There should have been, though. Should have been.
It's a lot easier to have.
They can only just be one of the guys.
Yeah. It's a lot easier for me to buy into an 80s high school than it is for me to watch a sword battle.
So wait. You can believe that a girl can dress up as a boy and so easily go to another high school and just enroll. Yeah. No big deal. Yeah. No idea. Nothing. They can do that and live their lives with a sock in their pants.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool, everybody. But you can believe that two men can, like, can sword fight with real swords. Like, not even magic swords. They're real swords. They're just fighting, like, regular people. You can't get on board with that. Like, you can't suspend disbelief for something that's real. Like, you know, real thing.
No, Eve, obviously you've never seen She's the Man with Amanda Bynes. Because
here we go, Amanda Bynes. Gotta go back to Amanda Bynes.
The beautifully, wonderfully talented Amanda Bynes easily pulled that stunt off. So I can believe that a lot easier than I can believe an old man fighting with a young man and training him. And then Sean Connery running on the beach like he was in Rocky. And I don't know what was going on in that scene. I just had to laugh out loud.
The quickening!
Oh, man.
I watched the director's cut, which was on the Blu-ray that Eve strongly recommended I purchase instead of rent or, you know.
No, actually, I told you to rent it, and you couldn't get it on rental, so that's not my fault.
No.
Yeah. I have emails to prove it, no. Okay?
I'm waving
emails
my finger
and photos
back and forth.
And
you can't see
okay?
it right now. But the director's cut is based on the longer European cut, and it's about 8 minutes longer than the theatrical U.S. version. I'm wondering, Eve, if you have a preference.
I like the director's cut better because there's a few scenes it explains about Connor's past, and there's a whole World War II sequence where he first meets Rachel, and so it makes a lot of sense now. You know who this woman is who he confides in, like, because he, yeah, how many people can he confide in his life, you know? So it's like, why this person? And that's not his, like, it's obviously not his girlfriend, lover, or whatever it is. So you get to find out that whole thing. So I like it just because it adds more to it. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Josh, which version have you seen?
I unfortunately do not have a Blu-ray player. I'm just a
liar. Oh, here we go. We have to stop the podcast. And it's ruined. Every week someone comes on and says they don't have a Blu-ray player. And then we have to stop.
I'm a poor college kid. I apologize.
Stop getting these poor college kids to come on. Oh, man. Because, no. Justin, I don't think is ever going to talk to you again until you get the Blu-ray player. So.
I know. Right. I shame Justin. I shame him.
Eve, you know what to get him for Christmas now.
get ready for emails and tweets from Justin where he asks, why aren't you my friend? All because you don't have a Blu-ray player. You just wait. He will shame you into getting a Blu-ray player.
He will call your parents,
okay?
Oh, geez.
And get them to get you a Blu-ray player. So don't worry about it. So which version? I mean, I don't know if the director's cut came out on DVD. I'm not sure. I know it was out on VHS, but I don't know.
Yeah, I do not believe it has. I believe there's two or three different DVD versions of it,
mm-hmm.
ranging anywhere from really, really poor to just kind of meh. And they have the all right one on Netflix with the 8 minutes you said the director's cut has. I definitely still really, really dig the hell out of this movie. Like I understand what you're saying about it kind of being a little the fights being a little clunky and unbelievable. But really, it kind of enhances the overall B movie experience that I think now you kind of get out of Highlander. Like I've been going through the Roger Corman cult classics collection that Shout Factory has, and this would fit perfectly alongside the more modern kind of Roger Corman releases, and I appreciate it for that. It's got an amazing, a few amazing songs from Queen. I mean, you can't go wrong with Queen. Come on.
Mm-hmm. I have to disagree with you on that point.
He's killing me.
You're
wrong. No, oh, that's so good.
I'm not saying anything about the quality of Queen because I like Queen, but I don't think they fit in this movie, especially when I'm thinking of a manly action film where there's sword fighting and horseback riding, And then I hear Freddie Mercury's voice, and I don't think manly. I think quite the opposite. So that just does not work for me. Just doesn't work.
They're the princes of the universe.
Yeah, okay? Man.
You want to be king, okay? Yeah,
they're the queens of the universe.
I don't know
their
what
name
the
is
hell
queen.
You're talking about, okay? If I was on a phone, I'd slam it down right now.
That's why
okay?
Their name is Queen Eve, not
listen,
Prince. There's only
listen,
one prince.
Listen. Let's not go there.
The purple
okay?
one.
They're an awesome rock band. And yes, as I said in my review, okay, their songs made this film. That's how I felt. Come on. What about Who Wants to Live Forever?
It's so good.
That didn't cheer you up when you see Connor and Heather living their long life and she's growing old and he's staying the same. And come on. You have no soul, okay? You have no heart, Justin. Go back to sleep.
Yeah, I don't have a heart, but I have ears, and when I hear Queen over these visuals,
that's so good.
I just can't I can't get into it.
Nope, wrong.
You are, wrong. Yeah, you're wrong. You're just wrong.
I gotta go get some of Justin's tweets that he sends to me that have pictures that say wrong. And
if this was an ice skating movie, I could hear Queen over it, but...
Are you serious, though?
As a matter of fact, there was a Will Ferrell ice skating... Blades of Glory.
I love Blades of Glory.
There was a Queen song in there. I'll take it in there over this one.
Yeah, you messed up. Really
my boy, Leonard Maltin... gave the film 1.5 stars, saying it had an interesting premise, making silly and boring former rock video director Mulcahy's relentlessly showy camera moves may cause you to reach for the Dramamine. Gotta agree with you, Leonard, on that
F
one.
Him.
Yeah.
F him.
But see, that's kind of one of the reasons I really dig the movie. It's kind of a time capsule of that era. Because if you look at Mulcahy's like music videos, like "Hungry Like the Wolf," like a wolf, or "Rio" that he did for Duran Duran, like they're very kind of '80s style, like stylized music videos. And I think he takes that '80s music video style and puts it in this movie. Clancy Brown is amazing.
Yeah,
Sean
come on, Justin. The curve.
Come on.
Come on.
Awesome.
Yeah, Sean, he scared the crap out of me when I saw that movie. I was so scared
man.
Of him. Okay?
Oh. Yeah, he's good villain.
Let's just say I wasn't scared of him when I saw him sticking his tongue out and running around. It's crazy, but... I understand.
Wait, see when the Kurgan seeks you out.
No, there's
okay?
a different time. When right? As I said, in a post Dark Knight world, when you're viewing this film, it is not the same as if I was viewing this in 1986. So I can understand its place in history, and I was watching it in 86. But
Josh wasn't even born in 86. Okay, yeah, and he can appreciate it. He likes it.
Yeah. What I just said, I appreciate it. What are you talking about?
But
no,
is it
no,
really,
you're making fun of the music. You don't like the villain. You don't like anyone. You don't even like Sean Connery.
Is it really fair to like to take down a movie that didn't have the Dark Knight in its world?
Yeah.
Like I don't necessarily think that's a fair.
Batman and Robin. Does anyone remember Batman and Robin?
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, of course. So what does that mean? That means you don't like Tron? Right,
I've not seen Tron, but I've heard.
I can't wait for you to see it because you gotta hate it.
I've heard nothing but bad things about Tron. I haven't heard anyone liking Tron and telling me Tron was a good movie.
Well, I again had the experience of seeing it when it came out, and I was like, "Oh yeah, Tron!" You know, the visuals, everything, it was great. But no,
yeah, but that's the thing about making a visual, a special effects driven movie. Mm. Once the technology becomes outdated, then you have nothing left to stand on. I haven't seen Tron, but from everything I hear. That's strictly a visual effects movie.
You won't
and
like it.
There's nothing left
but
after you'd strip that away.
Highlander isn't a visual effects movie. It's an action movie with fantasy. And
speaking of, there's some corny visual effects in here with the lightning. And then people's heads getting chopped off and that looking very phony.
Do you want them to really decapitate? I don't understand why they can't really decapitate someone.
Very
and make
strange.
It look real, no?
Very strange.
Oh, man. Don't understand. I don't know. He's like killing me.
I'm gonna insert
You're killing me softly.
Since I'm the editor, I'm going to insert a line from the movie and let everyone out there be the judge. So everybody, you take a listen to this.
Give me it. Don't move, pal. Don't even breathe.
You let me know, everyone out there, what did you think? Were you watching, by listening to that, were you watching Highlander or were we watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? So just weigh in on that, my friends. Now, I will say the things that I did like about the movie was Raiden from Mortal Kombat riding on a horse. I enjoyed that. And I enjoyed James Bond with a mustache running on the beach. And
awesome.
My favorite part of the movie was Lex Luthor. I enjoyed that.
What about Christopher Lambert's naked booty? That was a... I liked that.
I didn't enjoy his booty, but that girl got quite naked.
What did you think of her?
Oh, she was looking good in the dark. Actually, there was a couple girls. He had two nip slips in this movie. So I
there
enjoyed
were two?
For that. Yeah, there's
there were
one.
Two nip slips?
The Scottish girl and then the other girl in the modern times. Both of them showed off some areolas. So that was pretty good. I did enjoy the 1985 Doritos container, which I got this chance to see that.
Yes.
I did have some questions about the movie.
Okay, let's go for it.
Why is Sean Connery training him?
Okay, here's why. Because the Kurgan is the dangerous one, and if he wins the prize, then all humanity won't be safe anymore. And so basically he's like, look, he's trying to get all the other immortals to kind of defeat the Kurgan first, and then they'll worry about killing each other. So that's why he went to Connor and he's like, you know, I'll tell, cause I guess he knew that the Kurgan was out to get Connor. Now, why the Kurgan is out to get Connor specifically, I don't know. I have no idea why he's like, hey, let me go after this one guy who has, like, no skills and doesn't know crap, and let me, you know, he's mine. You know, I don't know why, but...
I thought that was
because he's Clancy Brown, because he can.
Well, besides the fact that... The fact is, you know what I laughed about here? You get me to say something about it. What I laughed about is when they first meet on the battlefield, and he stabs Connor, and then the other Klansmen, like, overcome him, and he's like, another time, Highlander! And it's like, why? Like, why another time? Like, why don't you just kill those three guys who were, like, came out, just kill them, and go back to killing Connor, like, go decapitate Connor? Like, why does that have to be another time?
Yeah, I didn't understand that one either.
Well, Dave was like, well, you know, he can't let people know he's immortal, so he can't, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he can't overdo his immortality and his strength and everything. Like, he has to blend in as, like, a normal person. That was Dave's theory for it. But I don't know about that.
I don't understand
well,
that.
Well, and there would be no movie. So, you know, it's in the script, you could say. But I always thought that was funny. I was always like, why? Why does it just keep fighting, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
As I said, Clancy Brown's voice is my favorite part of the movie because I love him as Lex Luthor and a number of other things. So that was my favorite part, was hearing his voice. Mm-hmm. And I had some other things. As I was watching the movie, I took down some notes.
Okay.
So it opens in a wrestling match. Yep. And so Christopher Lambert is just sitting there. And then there's a spotlight on his eyes for no apparent reason. He goes... I guess he was drawn to the parking lot by that spotlight, and then he meets up with another guy, and that other guy is like an immortal too, right?
Right.
So they're fighting the...
That's in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, they're fighting, the sprinklers go off, and then the other immortal starts doing backflips for no apparent reason, and he just keeps backflipping. And I was like, why is he doing that?
I know, he does like 9 or 10 backflips.
I didn't understand that part.
Yeah, and I didn't either.
Then, after they had their battle underneath Madison Square Garden, which I was listening to the director's commentary, and he was saying that they filmed that in London, and they just made it look like Madison Square Garden.
Right.
But the only thing I could think of when they got done was... there's going to be a lot of angry wrestling fans coming down to see all of their cars blown up. They're going to be like, what just happened here?
So that was on my mind. There were a number of key scenes of dialogue that I enjoyed.
I know what you liked.
You include
Don't move, pal. Well,
there was also when the prostitute comes to Clancy Brown's door, yeah. She says,
I'm Candy.
Of course you are.
Yeah.
Okay, that was nice.
oh, I love it.
I talked to fellow Geeks of Doom writer Hunter Camp about this, and he was telling me he likes the TV show a lot more than the movie.
Really?
What are your, both of you, well, Josh, have you seen the TV show?
I grew up watching the TV show. Yeah, I was going to say that in at the beginning, but yeah, I kind of love the TV show.
I would like the TV show more than the movie?
Probably.
Probably, but it's very 90s in a way. Oh, where no. this is very, very 80s. That show is very 90s, which I think is for its better, like its betterment. Mm. I personally dig the show more than the film, just because I like having the longer format of seasons to draw the storyline.
Yeah.
But I mean it's on Netflix Watch Instant, so you're really
I've added the first season to my Instant just to see how it is. And Hunter
yeah,
was saying
I think you'll dig it, yeah.
Hunter was saying he likes Duncan, the guy from the TV show, more than Connor.
Yes, I do too, yeah.
Right.
Well, I like the TV show. I never really got like really, really into it where I made sure I watched it every week, but I've seen a lot of episodes. I like it because I like the Highlander franchise. But mm-hmm. my issue is this, having seen Highlander when it first came out, when there was no sequels, no TV shows, no nothing, you know, the whole thing about there can only be one. How many times in the movie does that? There can only be one. There can only be, that's the whole thing. There can only be one. And then there is only one at the end. So to me, I won't even go into how I felt about Highlander 2 because that's an 8-hour podcast in and of itself, okay? And then all the sequels and Finos and this and that. And you're like, you know, my mindset was always like, I don't get it. Like, how could you make more when there can only be one? And like, it took mm-hmm. me, you know, probably 10 years to like finally be like, okay, fine, there's more than one. You know, and deal with it. But
the director talked about that on the commentary as well.
Yeah. So, but I can appreciate the TV show probably a lot better than the sequels to the movie. That's for sure. The sequels were terrible.
You know, as I was watching the movie, I thought this seems like a TV show because they would just have these random occurrences. Hey, remember that time we had a party back in the 1800s? Mm-hmm. Yeah, let's go to a flashback and show that party that we had. And I was like,
are you talking about the duel?
Yeah, I was like, this seems like, okay, this is this week's episode. Yeah, remember when that happened? All right, we're going to show that episode.
Actually, I think they did have an episode like that in a TV show where mm-hmm. I think it was like the 1700s. They had the wigs on, the white wigs.
Yeah.
I think they did that scene because they were trying to show you, like, him through the years, you know, uh-huh. not just the 1500s and then 1985. I think they were trying to show you, like, oh, you know, here's other things that happened with him. And mm-hmm. I guess they also wanted to show you how he has been injured and harmed, you know, over the years and just, you know, like, healed from it.
Yeah.
So I guess that's what...
Interesting, Eve.
So, you have any other questions?
Why did Clancy Brown put an old woman on his hood and drive around? I didn't understand that part. And then there was that scene, speaking of the Queen soundtrack, there's that scene where he's in the car with, he takes the girl, okay, Clancy Brown has the female, and right. he's driving with her. Brenda. And then it's like, that talking about Josh's love of surreal things and Darren Aronofsky. I thought Darren Aronofsky directed that car chase scene where he starts singing New York, New York, and then Queen comes. I was like, what's going on? I'm on an acid trip.
That was great. I love
that
it.
That was weird.
That was great.
The final fight between Clancy Brown and Christopher Lambert, they fall through this window and there's the scene had been flooded previously to that, so they fall through, but none of the water from the top fell through it. I didn't understand that. Did I miss something?
I don't know.
Okay, you watched that again.
Okay.
And
those are minor details, though.
Yeah. Also, talking about the, you know, I was talking about the sword fighting and some of the action being a little cheesy earlier. I'm really sorry, but when I can see styrofoam rocks falling on the guys' heads, that really takes me out of the movie. It's like
obviously
watching,
not a fan of the original Star Trek.
I was just about to say that. That is the exact same way. It's like the old Batman TV show or the Star Trek TV show.
It's Johnson. He's like, why didn't they use real rocks?
I'm sure those...
They should have used real bricks and
I'm
rocks.
Sure those, when they were viewed originally, were... I mean, I remember my dad telling me, yeah, I thought this was real. I thought the special effects were real. And now my dad watching those saying, ha ha, I was such a fool for thinking
wait,
that.
Wait, here's the thing, though. I think part of the problem is that as the quality of what you're watching increases, you see these things more. Like, you know, when it was made and you went to go see it, it wasn't in HD, you know, it didn't have the clarity the way we do now. And that's why I feel like a lot of times when you get these older movies on Blu-ray, it like puts a spotlight on like special effects that obviously aren't today's special effects, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was just watching a movie the other day that was relatively new. I can't think of what the hell the movie was I was watching, but I felt the same way where I was like, wow, this is a relatively new movie, and already it was like maybe 3 years old, and I'm like, already you could see, like, the special effects, you could kind of see through them because now you're watching it on a Blu-ray on a high definition television and everything. So I think that's always going to be a problem, you know.
And I think that's going to be a problem, particularly for I think 80s movies in particular, because there's something weird about the special effects that were used in the 80s, because they weren't quite like Harryhausen stop motion. They weren't quite CG. There's just something weird about 80s films in general, because I don't know why, but it's just because I've been watching a few of the Corman 80s releases, and the transfers are nice, but there's something off about them. Like, they're not quite up to today's standards, which means they look even kind of worse than they did on VHS or like early DVD releases. But I can understand that, but I don't necessarily think it's a legitimate kind of problem. I mean, it's a fine problem to have, but I wouldn't necessarily take the film down a notch for it. I'd say it's more kind of the era that it's from in general. So,
Now, what is the prize that he wins for being the only one? He knows
the
what everyone's
knowledge.
Thinking.
Yeah, he get ultimate knowledge. He knows everything. I know everything.
That scene was very strange to me.
You didn't love that? The quickening overcomes me. I know everything.
The mythology I didn't think was very... I thought the potential for it was great, and I think that's why there's been such a long series of things with movies, TV shows, anime, comic books, everything. I think there's a lot of stuff that people... kind of like Star Wars, too. Like, people can take from the mythology and add their own stories to it. But in the movie itself, I was confused about what the previous stories were and what this story was. And like you said, the way that it ended, I thought that was the end. So how does it continue after this?
Right.
And I was looking at the synopsis for Highlander 2.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I ever want to watch that.
No, you don't.
From
you
reading
don't.
That.
Ever. Although, it's like... Tell Justin to watch Highlander 2, probably his favorite movie, you know, because everyone who loves Highlander hates Highlander 2. It's Highlander 2, The Quickening, and if you ever heard people talking about sequels that they hate, you'll see that they'll say, like, such and such, The Quickening. Well, at least I do all the time. If there's a sequel I hate, I just call it The Quickening. I'm like, do a little too, The Quickening, you know, like, everything is The Quickening, so it's the ultimate in terrible sequels. Yeah, it's painful. It's painful. But I think if you watch it, you'll see Virginia Madsen's butt or
nipple. I guess I will watch it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's really funny. In that movie, it's like I don't know, like, I don't, he gets her, like, so quickly, I don't even understand, like, but no, don't get me started.
There's another part, I think I fell asleep during this part, maybe you guys can explain.
Okay.
When Clancy Brown shaves his head, and then he comes and meets him, and he explains, he asked him why he cut his hair. What's that?
At the church?
Yeah. He asked him why he cut his hair, and he said, because he was in disguise. And that was the explanation that I saw. Was there anything else other than that explained why he cut his hair?
I think it was because didn't he have the long hair when he stabbed the Marine guy, the Army guy? Didn't he? And like there was a description of him, I think. No, I can't remember exactly. But I think he was, like, the police were looking for him.
Interesting.
I think that's why.
I don't... See, if I was Clancy Brown, I wouldn't be afraid of the police, because I could just take them all out. So, it's hard for me to believe
that he's immortal, but he's not, like, you know, like, you know, like, he doesn't have the ultimate power, and, you know, like, you know, he can't, like, just, oh, yeah, I'm going to kill everybody I come across. Like, you know, I mean, he's strong because he just happens to be strong, but he's immortal.
Here's another thing, going back to the mythology. I thought every time he cut somebody's head off, he got their power.
He got their knowledge.
Oh.
He got their knowledge. Right.
So he ate their brains and he got their knowledge. All right. It's a zombie movie now. All right.
So basically, had he killed Connor, he'd know how to herd sheep. You know, he'd know how to deal antiques.
And he'd know what haggis was.
He'd know what haggis is, right? Exactly.
Stomach stuffed with meat and barley. That was another gem of a dialogue moment for me. Yeah. So
now, do you guys think this could work for a reboot? Because last we heard, it is getting rebooted. So with Justin Lin as the director. So, I mean, is this
love a reboot?
Yeah, I mean, there's been rumors that Vinnie Jones might be the Kurgan. Ooh. So, what do you guys think about a reboot? I'm kind of for it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah, Eve. Yeah. Nope. It's going to be reboot. With modern special effects. It's
yeah,
gonna be,
and in 10 years, I'll talk to you and everybody.
It'll be less cheesy. Yeah. Yeah, Eve. Yeah.
No.
Yep. I'm for it. Justin Lin is the man to do it. Iron Man writers Art Markham and Matt Holloway doing the script.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, Josh, let's go. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so the children want a reboot.
Yay.
Grandma don't want a reboot.
That's like, that would be similar to Eve saying, yeah, I'm happy with the Adam West Batman. I don't need Batman Begins or The Dark Knight. Yeah.
No, it's not the same. It's totally not.
I'm happy with Batman and Robin. Woo! Mr. Freeze is the best
Batman and Robin, best
ever.
Movie ever.
Eve was
perfect
afraid
movie.
Of Mr. Freeze. He was so scary.
Perfect movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess this brings us to the end of our Highlander discussion.
Yay!
And Justin is 100% wrong. I'm 100% right. And Josh, since he's on my side, is also 100% right.
Yeah.
Josh, we thank you very much for joining us on this fun-filled episode tonight.
It's been an honor.
Oh, well, anytime. We'd love to have you come back and agree with me some more.
Awesome.
Anyone who wants to send Justin hate mail, feel free to. He's ready and willing to accept it. And I won't even ask him where people should send the hate mail because he'll just give you, like, Hunter Camp's email address. So.
Whatever you say, Jack, you are the master race.
You can send Justin hate mail at news@geeksofdoom.com. Just make sure you say, I hate Justin, in the subject line, and tell him how wrong he is about Highlander.
You look like a woman, you stupid haggis.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Justin, after you're done sleeping in hell tonight, why don't you tell everyone where they can find us on the internet?
Well, you stupid haggis, you can always go to geeksofdoom.com and find all of our postings over there. Or you can go to the holy ground of Twitter, find us at Flicks of Doom, F-L-I-X. Or you can send us an email, flicksofdoom@gmail.com.
And go to the mystic portal of iTunes and subscribe to us. And then send Justin the hate mail. Tonight you sleep in hell. And cut. Wake the baby. Someone wake the baby.